It is Wednesday, the 19th of July. This is the Cat's Whiskers podcast, and we are live. Hello, good evening and welcome. This is the first, technically the first, off-season Cat's Whiskers podcast. We've decided that amongst us we are entering the 23-24 season. So, here we are, gathered around a table. Ant and Adam are happily sharing some nuts. There are a few beverages around the table. Everybody's fed and watered and we're ready to go. So, around the table, Adam Reddish.
Hello, everybody.
And Aunt Mary-Jean.
Evening all.
And, and me, Tina. Hello. Before we get into the agenda points and talking about all things Panthers, Elite League, hockey, etc., etc., we do just want to acknowledge a couple of slightly more sombre events that have happened since we last podcasted. So last month, Nottingham experienced an act of absolute aberration where a man had a bit of a spree and we lost the lives of three good people, two of them university students starting out their lives, figuring out what they were going to do for the rest of those lives, and have unfortunately cruelly had that taken away from them. We were absolutely devastated. This is our home, this is our city, and you know, you hear about it, things like this happening in other cities, and sometimes you struggle to connect yourself to. You can you know, feel sympathy for people, but when this happens in your own backyard, it feels all the more poignant. You know, we absolutely would like to, even now, a month on, we would like to offer our thoughts and our sympathies to the families who have lost and are still grieving and possibly, you know, still searching for some meaning behind it all. Also, our friends up the M1, and I say friends because, you know, things like this put rivalries aside. The Sheffield Steelers lost a young talent in Alex Graham. Regardless of the circumstances, which I don't believe are made public, and you know, rightly so, somebody again losing their life so young, it's absolutely tragic. And we would like to extend our sympathies to the Sheffield Steelers fans, organisation, and friends and teammates of Alex. It's never something you want to hear about. You know, the Nottingham Panthers have got a retired number for a player whose life was sadly cut short. So, you know, it's something that, you know, we feel it. We you know, absolutely. And, you know, we feel so sorry for the families in both of these events. So that's just, you know, we would just like to acknowledge those events and, you know, just extend our thoughts to all the people involved. So, to the business of podcasting, gentlemen, and where do we want to start? Because quite frankly, there's been an awful lot happen. We've been a bit slack here, haven't we? To be fair, I mean, you know,
not
like
for the want to try.
Yeah, not for the want of trying. I mean,
it's been about three dates that we had in the calendar, and then none of them actually happened for one reason or another.
But yeah, life.
But the first line was Tina's fault, then it was your fault, yeah, and then it was my fault last week. So
nobody's without blame.
We've all used our get out of jail free cards, if you like. But
we have apportioned blame evenly in these circumstances. So yes. Time to sort of get to it. Let's go with the most relevant, I suppose. Let's have a look at what's been going on, the ins and outs of the Nottingham Panthers. So, the day after our last podcast, Jordan Kelsall re-signed. that was a bit of a surprise to me, I have to say, because I thought there was a genuine possibility he was going to do an Ollie Betteridge and, you know, go off and find his feet and see what Europe had to hold. So that was lovely to see him come back. We've seen returns for Caruso and Anderson, not particularly unexpected. Hazeldon and Hopkins have decided to go and see if they can have a bit more luck and, you know, ice time down at Coventry. Matthew Myers not returning to Panthers, so that means that this season there will be a new captain for the Nottingham Panthers. And then we've got an absolute raft of new signings: Otto Nieminen, Didrik Hembrandt, Tyler Welsh, a new Welsh. Just, you know, but let's just put that out there. It's almost like when that signing happened, I kind of thought, have we become like the Game of Thrones of the Elite League? There must always be a Welsh in Nottingham, you know. It's just almost like the whole year there must be a Stark in Winterfell. Anyway, Carl Neal, Logan Nielsen. Again, I mean, this adds fuel to the whole sort of, you know, Game of Thrones thing, isn't it? There must always be a Nielsen in Nottingham. So, a familiar face, but not necessarily to Panthers, in Rok Stojanovic, Jake Rychek. Zane McKenzie has signed on a two-way. Mike Robinson, netminder, another important netminder. So that is the direction that the Panthers are choosing to go in. And today, I mean, thank you very much to Panthers. Oh, I've missed one. I knew I would. Carl Neal. Yes, I've missed one.
Sorry,
Carl. Sorry, Carl. I'll try not to do that again. Just before
27 minutes ago.
Yeah, 27 minutes ago, Panthers hit the button. So thank you very much for hitting your button before we hit ours on Hugo Wah. And I believe it is going to be Wah, because
he was born in Quebec, so yes. We're kind of assuming he's a Wah.
Yeah,
but I'm still going to call him Roy.
I'm
told otherwise.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you did that for the entirety of Matthew Wah's stay in the Elite League.
His name's Matthew Roy.
I mean, that's.
It's not Rob Wah, is it? That Scottish fella.
So what you're saying is that he needs to assimilate to our culture while being here, right? Okay. So yeah. So as far as Ant is concerned, Hugo Roy has signed for the Panthers. I mean, myself and Adam.
Like an absolutely epic porn name.
I mean, if you're going
to
choose a porn star name,
it'll always be a Wah to me.
Yeah. Me and Adam are going to take it as Wah until we're advised otherwise. Also, we now, from the Gary Graham era of no assistant coach, we now have two. So Jonathan Parade is taking this very seriously. He's brought back Rick Strachan. He's also brought in Joe Wilkinson / Robert Farmer hybrid, Kevin Moore, who...
The happiest
man on the planet. I mean, that smile was, you know, that filled his picture.
His job at the Panthers.
Yeah. I don't think he knows what he's let himself in. I hope he's got that smile in like, you know, 8 or 9 months' time.
When we released that and we saw the picture of that, that actually made me smile in turn. I was like, this is a man that is very, very happy with his job.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? Let's bring a bit of sunshine and rainbows and what have you to what has been a very dismal Panthers team over the last few seasons.
Yes, quite. Oh, before I forget, should you be listening live right now, and in fact, even if you're not listening live, get in touch. Ant is manning the socials, primarily Twitter, but, you know, we're all trying to find our feet with the old Threads as well. So, you know, if you fancy sending us a message on the Threads. Okay. So Adam is going to man the Threads. So we've got one on the Twitter and one on the Threads. Please do get in touch. We are, I mean, you'll find us in some fashion or form at Cats Whiskers podcast or at Cats Whiskers TV. So what do we think of the signings so far? I mean, I think we've all sort of agreed just prior to tonight that, prior to hitting the button tonight, that we seem to be still lacking a goal scorer. I know that's of a particular interest to yourself, Adam. Me and you will have this debate until the end of time, I reckon.
I think so. I think there's still a real sort of sniper that's yet to be recruited by Panthers. In terms of the players that we've signed so far, I mean, it's quite clear that we've gone for a much younger roster than last year.
Caruso aside.
Caruso aside.
Bless him.
Yeah, and Stojanovic. But then, you know, He's not that old at 32. I'd still say that he's got some good years left.
I mean, yeah, looking at the average age around the table, I think he's good.
I'd say Caruso is younger than all of us.
Yeah. But, definitely a strategy of the coach to go with a younger squad and a younger roster. And I think that was necessary, really, because, you know, last year we were outskated in most games. Speed was a real sort of Achilles heel for us, or lack of, I should say. And, any team that was relatively fast skating, forwards and D, you know, would easily get behind our guys and cause us problems. So
it was a little bit of a worry, wasn't it?
It was. And, you know, we didn't help ourselves with some of the systems and some of the tactics that we employed last year as well. There were faults all over the place, really. Recruitment, the composition of the roster, some of the on-ice tactics and systems. It was just like the perfect storm of things going wrong last season. But anyway, that was last season. Let's try and draw a line under that, because you asked me about the players that we've signed so far for the forthcoming season.
I mean, Adam, it's not like you to give a concise answer, so I expected it. It's fine. Yeah, it's not a problem.
I'm already going around the houses, and we're only about 10 minutes in. But I'm actually quite happy to see a younger sort of demographic of player on the roster this year. Some of these players don't have a vast amount of experience under their belts, but I expect that the players that we will sign to recruit, to complete the roster, you know, will add a bit more experience, in all the key places. So, I'm sort of quietly confident and optimistic about the players that we've signed so far. But, I think to go right back to what you said at the start, we do miss that one player that you think, ooh, you know, there's 30 goals there, there's 35 goals there.
No. Okay. So, Ant, I think Adam's focus is usually goals. Obviously everybody's focus is goals, but you, I think you and I kind of maybe, you know, lean towards the side that can sort of look after itself at times. How do you think that sort of that looks at this point in time?
Well, to be honest, that's the one thing I've not looked at since we've signed, since we've made all these signings. I've not looked at sort of, obviously Logan's a big boy, but you don't want to see him, you know, fighting players. We know Tetlow can look after himself, but again, I don't want to see him fighting players.
Oh, I'm not specifically talking about fights, but you know, I think there were games last season where we were finding ourselves bullied, for want of a better way of putting it.
As much as, you know, I think we all love a good scrap, but I just want to see, like, players get, if you come anywhere near our goalie, for instance, you're going to get put through the plexi.
Absolutely.
Not in a naughty way, but in a sending a message kind of way. You don't do that again.
Absolutely.
It's at the moment, I think we've gone young and fast, which is what Omar said he wanted from us. But I'm a bit like Adam. I'm a little bit concerned about where the goals are coming from at the moment. We've got players that can put the puck across the crease, if you like. And at the moment, looking through those stats, just based on last season, we've only really got Niemanen, who's got really, you know, has got more than sort of 20 goals. Everybody else is all about the assists. So, yeah, I know we've got, after today, we've still got, I reckon, five more imports to sign. So you'd think, you know, save the best till last, maybe. But and we've got a promising roster on paper. You don't know what they are until you see them play, do you?
Exactly.
I think we did need to rip up the roster.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Again, and I know that we've had many, many debates about the fact that every season certainly recently, we rip up the roster and we start all over again, and it puts us at a major disadvantage over, you know, other teams that are at the right end of the Elite League rather than where we were last season. But I think when you come off a season as lousy as we had last year, you have to blow the thing up. You know, you've got to stick dynamite under it and, spare no prisoners, because there'll be a lot of sort of emotional baggage, I guess, and psychological damage, you know, having had such a bad season. So you don't really want too many of those people back. So it is good that we've gone for like a You know, a fresh set of guys this year that look younger and perhaps more hungrier because they're sort of making their ways in their professional careers.
Is that on the bingo card, by the way?
Might be.
Younger and hungrier.
Younger and hungrier. Yeah. So that's one of the four corners ticked off. I'm looking forward to seeing Logan play because I think that I heard the Panthers podcast the other day, and I think I can't remember who it was. I think it was Green that said that he was 6'5", and it's like 6'5"?
He's 20.
So he's not even finished growing. There might even be another couple of inches in him yet. So he's going to be. He's going to be a big guy, you know. He's. I'm looking forward to seeing how he sort of agitates because, I guess other people on the team are not going to want to sort of take liberties with him. I don't know if he's sort of developed a bit of a mean streak or if he wants to look after himself with a bit of physical stuff. But
well, I mean, I remember Corey Nielsen telling a story about his junior days where because he was so tall, people just expected him. And he absolutely despised it. But somebody told him that what he should do is basically just the following game, just wrap his stick around somebody's head, and nobody would ever mess with him again. And he just couldn't bring himself to do it because he's not that kind of player. So I don't know. Maybe Logan did that, and we just didn't hear about it.
Well, no, hopefully not. But you know, it is exciting. It's exciting to see the next generation of British talent coming through. It's really disappointing to lose Hopkins and Havildine. I know with there's been a tweak to the roster limits, haven't there? Because I think we've gone up an import. Have we gone up an import?
We have gone up an import.
Yeah.
Which is very disappointing.
It is. I'm not particularly happy. Sorry, I'm just chewing on a cashew nut.
That was a disclaimer right at the beginning.
Chewing on his nuts, and then on his, he's waiting for another couple of inches. It's like tightly a sex tape, parts one, two, and three.
To be fair though, Ant, you've been chewing on Adam's nuts. This is full on soft porn going around the table tonight.
Particularly over 18 content for this podcast.
We need to dial it back a little bit. We had a couple of explicit content warnings last season, so maybe I've got to dust that one off again. Sorry, I interrupted you there.
And for the life of me, I can't remember what I was going to say, so it's probably best to I'm not overly keen on that because I thought it was about the right level anyway. And you know, some of the things that I've heard justifying the extra import in the league this year was that it will help drive up standards and quality of hockey for fans, because at the end of the day, more fans through the doors is great for everybody. But from what I'm seeing, looking at signings that other clubs around the league are making, they are sort of like dipping into, you know, the
NCAA.
The NCAA.
We've made a couple of signings out of college, haven't we, already?
Exactly.
And what I'm seeing there is, well, you know, you can make an argument to say, are these guys any better than promising Brits that are coming through our own system here?
That is interesting. So is it the fact that they are imports? Is there a perception that they're automatically better? I don't think that's right. I mean, you know, I think we all know what side of the fence I sit on this. I'm devastated, quite frankly, because I love to see, young Brits getting on the ice and doing well. If they don't do well, then you know, fine. But you've got to give them the chance to flourish or not.
It just seemed very strange to come in on the back of GB's promotion as well. I know. I mean, we had a little moment in the last one about Jono Phillips. You know, obviously stepping back, he's not the only one. You know, we've mentioned Matthew Myers. We'll come on to Matthew Myers later because I think he deserves his own little sort of segment. What a legend! So there are, you know, the senior British players are starting to drop away now, and they do need replacing. But I can kind of see it in two ways: in that if you're limiting it to what, five British players in your squad, and one of them is likely to be a backup goalie. I hope he'd be a backup goalie, because otherwise what a blooming waste of an import. It pushes those players to be better. Does it also mean that they ask for less in wages because there's limited roster spots for them? So obviously, instead of having, say, 10 roster spots, and you need to fill these roster spots, so you get your top end Brit saying, well, they're offering me £50 more than you're offering me. Where have we heard that before? You know, what can you do, you know, that sort of thing. So I mean, I can see it from that kind of perspective, but I'm with you, Tina. And I'm sure Adam feels the same. It's disappointing from a homegrown point of view. And the league has always said it's never been a development league, but I think there's still potential in there to aid development, even if you're not a development league.
Absolutely. There's still a certain level of responsibility, you know, because otherwise you turn into a, you know, a league that's just reliant on overseas players. Yeah, I mean, and where does that get you?
A couple of big name players dropped to the NIHL, aren't they? Luke Ferrari. You know, no doubt we'll mention him again later on, but yeah, it just seemed a very strange, like Adam says, I think he was quite happy with it being at 14 imports. I was fine with 14. I thought if anything it might drop to 13, not go the way it has done. So as long as we're hitting our top limit now, it surely can't go any higher.
No, I'd be upset if it did. I think there's always going to be a debate, isn't there, between those that want to see better standards.
What's the biggest debate?
The structure of the Challenge Cup or the import limit in the
God. I had my whinge about that at the season ticket event at the Salt Box.
We were only meant to talk about it for about a minute in the last podcast, and I think we went on for about half the podcast whinging about
the Challenge Cup. Let's draw a line immediately.
It is a debate that is going to rage on and on and on and on. I mean, at least, well, I mean, I haven't heard anything to the contrary. At least all 10 teams are going to be involved this season. I mean, that doesn't make it that much better, because instead of eliminating one team, you're eliminating two. Anyway, like, no, we are not having a Challenge Cup
debate.
We're not. I've still not finished
my article, by the way.
Oh my God. we've all got articles that remain unfinished, haven't we? So we really do need to pick that up.
We do. We're taking those to our grave. But the debate I was...
Before the day I know.
Yeah. The debate I was alluding to was, I noticed on social media that it was quite fevered and frenzied when the league announced that they were going to up the import level by another import, between those that I suspect probably see the world through our eyes, in that we'd like to see as many Brits and as many quality Brits as possible in the Elite League, and those that don't really care much for how Great Britain fare and the health of the national team. They just want to see high quality hockey. But I actually think that you won't see high quality hockey if you're bringing in an extra import from the Canadian Junior Leagues. I really don't see that as helping the Elite League's cause to improve the standard of ice hockey.
It's not like we're going to get transfer fees on them, is it? It's like you bring in some young imports, train them up, they become quite good, and then a bigger team from Europe comes calling and offers you £1 million or something like that to sign it.
I mean, there's no benefit in that, because it's just isn't that sort of pathway through. But I mean, you are sort of blocking the path of somebody that might be knocking on the door in the NIHL, you know, a Brit that might be looking to make that transition up to the Elite League. And, you know, ultimately, that's going to be of detriment to the GB national programme at the end of the day. So I don't like the idea of enhancing or increasing the import levels any further. I think if it goes up any more, then it really will start to cast doubt on what the whole league is actually for.
I'd be interested to see how much we see of McKenzie. So I know he trained with us. I think he started training with us when Corey came.
I think the only time we really saw him was the third, fourth game, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't go to it. Did any of you go?
I saw it. And the thing is, though,
at the playoff finals weekend, I was in the pool.
Yeah. I mean, and in other news today, he has a Y in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to sort of use the third, fourth place playoff game in a playoff finals weekend as a barometer for how good somebody is. But what I would say is he did stand out. But then again, he might have been the only sober player on the ice, because it was almost like his audition. You know, he was given a chance to go out there and show what he could do.
I tell you what, if he's been hired based on, you know, being played in the Hangover Cup, he's done all right, I think.
I might get a contract for an Elite League club.
You're whinging on your way in about how much you're aching and everything.
I know.
With your cricket.
Steady on.
Obviously, we're going to see him in pre-season. And then if we've got delays with imports coming in, which, touch wood, we've not really had over the last couple of years. I know that used to be a massive problem, didn't it, with getting the imports in. But then on the flip side, those were the days when we used to play interesting teams in pre-season, like from Germany or Italy.
Oh,
or
Holland.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is a point for discussion, isn't it? The distinct lack of. I mean, let's just look at the Scottish.
I read the agenda team.
I mean, seamless, my friends, seamless. I mean, I'll be honest, I've paid very little attention because my summer so far has just been at 90 miles an hour, especially in my July. I haven't got time to breathe. But the fact that I've been able to find time to podcast is something of a miracle.
You're hiding from the downpours that are happening every 2 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. Under canvas, mainly. Yeah. But I seem to recall that the Scottish teams had organised, European opposition, to play in pre-season. I mean, That's a very coordinated effort by those guys.
The Scottish teams that have generally got the lowest budget and operate on the smallest costs. Yeah. Well, maybe with the exception.
We used to do that with. I mean, Hull definitely got involved 1 year. Mm. I think it was Tilburg.
That's just a ferry ride away.
Yeah.
But they brought Tilburg, so they played Tilburg, and then they came down to play us.
Well, I feel like it was like approximately, I don't know what, 8, 9, 10 years ago. I was in Rotterdam watching a tournament. Robert Farmer came over to play prior to him going over to Alaska. It was like his pre-season training that he just came over and played for us and nearly got his face punched in by some 6'8" geezer with a massive beard.
Just looking at it in general, it's the old phrase that familiarity breeds contempt. You know, we see enough of the teams anyway through the Challenge Cup. Why do we need to see any more of them in the warm-up games?
It'll go back to finances because obviously it's cheaper for us to play, almost at Cardiff then, because normally it's been Cardiff the last couple of years. It's Coventry.
The Aladdin Cup.
So it's cheaper for us to play Cardiff and Sheffield because we don't have to pay accommodation costs or transport costs, blah, blah, blah.
And it's just an extended warm-up for everybody, isn't it? Which, fair enough. But
and I guarantee more people will go to that than they would have done if it had been, say, like a team from Italy or a team from Germany or something like that. And it goes back to the third, fourth place playoff thing.
Well, yeah,
because
I mean,
more people go into the arena to watch that S show of a game than they used to for the England Scotland.
I suppose. But the thing is, I feel like it would balance out because we've already talked about the pre-season. Well, if you take the third, fourth game, Adam went, we didn't. So that's two out of three that didn't go to it.
What does that say about me?
Well, that
I was sober?
Yeah.
It's the fact that we wanted to carry on drinking and you didn't.
Yeah, there is a bit of that.
You needed a break.
Yeah, there is a little, you should have had a break, quite frankly, pal.
You wanted your 11 degrees coffee or whatever it is. 1,700 pounds coffee, more like.
11 degrees coffee, I'll be taking it back because that'll be too cold for me.
Oh, you don't like iced coffee then?
No.
Okay. No, but what was I saying? Yeah, balance because if I intend to go to none of the pre-season games. Were they against European, let's say, opposition, I'd be there.
I would be there. Asking price for a ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I want to see something different, and I want to see us challenge ourselves against opponents that are not familiar, and people that we're not going to see for the rest of the year. The only way you're going to do that now is if you are in the Continental Cup or the CHL. And at the moment, we are close to neither of those, based on the last couple of seasons.
Playing devil's advocate and arguing against myself, something I'm pretty good at.
Hey, look, right, we can't just have agreement for everything around the table. Yeah, absolutely.
But what I would say is, The teams that Fife and Dundee are playing, I think it's a Romanian side, or it might be a Hungarian side, I can't quite remember. But, if you're a coach of a team, how much are you going to get from playing a team with a very, very strange style? Well, not a strange style, but a different style to most of the styles that teams in the Elite League play. Mm-hmm. You're not going to learn anything, are you? I mean, it'll be novel for the fans, and yes, it would be nice to have more variety in who we watch because it feels like a very insular league, the Elite League.
It's a road trip, isn't it? That'll be about bringing their team together for the first time at the start of the season and you're doing your team bonding. They'll probably do activities, away days or something like that. So, about counterbalancing your argument.
It's a legitimate counterbalance argument. So I don't know where we are now because I think I'm arguing for something that I don't believe in and you're arguing for something that you don't believe in.
There's just no passion in these podcasts anymore.
No.
Let's talk about Challenge Cup.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no, let's not, because that's definitely an overtime podcast if we carry on with that again.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get in a passionate debate, like, we could mention Guildford in the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, yeah, that's
the floor is yours.
Oh, God, yeah, Ant had already pre-warned myself and Adam before we started that if we started talking about anything to do, and I did mention the Continental Cup, so, I suppose... I've done this to myself. I am, and for this, listeners, I am sorry. Ant, you have the floor.
It's old news now, and I think everybody's had their say, and I think pretty much 99% of the hockey fan base that I've seen agrees with my thoughts on the fact. What an absolute disgrace. What sort of light does that put the Elite League in when our team, our nominated team, to go into the Continental Cup, say that they can't be bothered because they, you know, it's too much travel or it's... You know, they obviously can't host it. Fine, okay, so you can't host it. You get a weekend away. It's one weekend, right? Unless you then qualify for the Super Bowl. It's two weekends.
Yeah, now here's the thing, though. When we won it...
Yeah, we had to play an extra week.
Yeah.
We had to play the extra week because of, like... Because Coventry had not won it the year before, I think. Something daft. We weren't quite higher up in the
coefficient rankings.
Did we host a round? Oh my God, my memory is just terrible.
But
I mean, I don't. If we hadn't hosted a round, I don't think that would have made any difference. I think we'd have still progressed at the level that round was at.
We played Riga Juniors. Absolute barnstorming game that was.
No, sorry,
lost
I mean
his, yeah. You know what, behind the net, and absolutely marmalised a 15-year-old Latvian who had the temerity to carry a stick a bit too high.
I was just so disappointed.
Yeah.
So disappointed. And then what annoyed me even more is that a week before, when we did our last podcast, we were quite passionate about, you know, wanting wanting Belfast to do well in the CHL. And now they've got their new weird tournament thing that they're... Hey, it's a very strange setup, but, you know, the Belfast fans seem happy. But so good luck to them. And then we were saying, Guildford, you know, smash the Continental Cup. And the bottom line is they'll only be one first, and that's us, so they can't replace us. Really wanted them to do well. And then... It's just so disappointing. And if you look at all the teams in the Elite League, based on their playstyle, who would be better suited to doing well in Europe as well? Surely it's Guildford.
I mean, the wealth of experience that Dixon has, you know, and the team that he put together, ultimately they didn't, you know, they didn't quite get over the line.
They didn't have the legs,
which was just so disappointing.
It was the first time that they'd been serious challengers for the Elite League title, and so they had no reference point really. And
normally they have a good first, you know, month, 2 months, 3 months, and then absolutely just fall away. And they actually waited until March before they had their meltdown this time.
Yeah, I mean, last year's roster for Guildford was exceptionally talented. And you know, I think maybe with the exception of Belfast, I did actually enjoy watching Guildford play because, you know, they played a really good, fast brand of hockey and it was exciting to watch. Yeah, pretty much everything that was the opposite of the Panthers last season. I'm disappointed as well because it would have been great for Guildford to maybe have given themselves a bit more profile on the European hockey stage, because I don't think the Elite League is necessarily that well known or thought of across mainland Europe. So for Guildford to go across and, you know, represent the UK would have been great. But I share Ant's anger. I'm trying to be calm about it, but I'm literally being restrained here.
No. Well,
99% of the hockey fraternity agreed with what we've talked about. They were all very disappointed.
Well, here's the thing, right? So
don't sit in a corner and think about what you've done.
Yeah, here's the juxtaposition of owners, right? For as much as we berate Neil Black, he's all about, you know, pushing forward, pushing boundaries, and getting us out into Europe. You know, we were the first ones to win the Continental Cup. We were the first ones to enter the CHL. Yes, all right, we spent, you know, plenty of games getting absolutely battered, but I don't want to be a git about this, you know, I'm thinking of a better word than that, but every other team that's entered the CHL has Neil Black and the Panthers to thank for that. Mm. And, you know, the Continental Cup, you know, everybody else plays around less because of us. Mm. You know, I'm not... That's just it, I'm afraid. Yeah. So for the fact, you know, the Guildford's owners have gone, actually, we don't think it's really for us. Mm. That's just... It just shows the absolute lack of ambition. You know, they already have their rink as a serious barrier to any kind of growth, because it's not very big, it's in the middle of nowhere, and there's no other draw. There would be no other reason for you to go there. I mean, I've been there once, and I tied it into a visit to family down south. So I took my sister, my stepsister, with me, and we got there, we parked up, we bought a drink, went in to watch the game, and then we left. Yeah, and that was pretty much it, because there was nothing to hang around for. So that's enough of a barrier. Yeah. So why would you want to limit your ambitions when you're handed an opportunity like that? I would be very mad. I'd be angry. Mm. It's one thing I can't fault Neil Black for, mm. because he's always tried to push the Panthers in, you know, to do, you know, more interesting things like that. Yeah. So, you know, Guildford fans, you know, any of you that are angry, we feel it. We absolutely feel it.
But it's also, I mean, there's some rumours, and I'm sure it was in a Sheffield Star article as well, that they'd been offered then with Guildford dropping out, and Sheffield had turned it down as well for the same reasons. And if, I mean, that takes the MI double crooked, PI double crooked letter, you know what I mean? But... yeah, let's do it. Let's move on. You know.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's move on with something a little bit more positive. Yeah. So, friend of the show, Aaron Murphy, has taken on a new role, albeit with our little sister up north. He's been appointed Clans Senior Advisor of Hockey and Broadcast Operations.
They're not little sisters anymore.
No, I know.
We're completely separate from him now, thankfully. So Neil Black can now pour all of his money into running the Panthers. Yeah, we know it's not going to happen, but still.
Well, okay, I'll call him the little stepsister, seeing as there's been a bit of a divorce. But yes, we'd like to extend our congratulations to Aaron for his new role. I'm sure he is going to do very well. He will bring a wealth of broadcasting experience and media operations and all things hockey. I mean, the man's an encyclopedia, frankly.
I look forward to replica Aaron Murphy cookie jars being sold in the club shop.
And good whiskey on the top shelf.
That's already got his order in. Yeah, too bloody right.
Purple cookies. Onto a winner here, pal.
Marvellous. Let's just have a quick mention. I've already sort of mentioned the teams up north, the north of the wall. It's a new era for the Five Flyers. They have signed a new coach. And my God, he's already signing players. Wow. It's unfamiliar, I'll be honest.
Well, put it this way. If I was Todd Dutiem, and I don't know on what ways he parted with the Five Flyers, but if I was seeing this spate of new signings and Five throwing the chequebook about, I'd be a little bit miffed if I was Todd, because I'd be asking questions like, well, why wasn't I given the ability to do this for the last few seasons? So, but I think it was necessary in Five, because as an organisation, it had gone badly, badly stale, and you only have to look at their social media feeds to, you know, see the anger from a lot of their remaining fans. I say remaining fans because, you know, their crowds have really tailed off massively over the last few seasons.
Yes, something I will be touching on in my currently unfinished blog.
Okay, so yes, keep an eye out for that.
Well, yeah, not too close an eye. It won't be for a little while yet.
All right, look somewhere else for a few weeks and then look back. But yeah, I mean, Fife, we have these conversations sometimes away from the podcast, but as an organisation, it's just got everything in place for it to just take off. You know, it's a traditional hockey town. It's got a passionate fan base, but it's got a very disillusioned fan base.
Yes.
So I think now the owners probably recognise that they did need a big, big new broom to sweep through that place and, you know, get rid of all of the hangover from previous years where they've finished bottom or, you know, just failed. I mean, the odd thing was they actually made the Challenge Cup final last year, but their fans were still, you know, up in arms about how dismally they did in the league and the playoffs. So I mean, I'm hoping that Fife do get better this year, you know, because I like to see a strong competitive Fife. I like to see, you know, all teams strong and competitive, but sadly, you know, there always needs to be teams down at the bottom of a league. Not everyone can do well.
Well, there needs to be teams at the bottom of a league, but, I mean, I echo what you're saying. I would like to see the gap be a lot less. I would like to see...
I'd like to see the gap between the Panthers and the top of the table a lot less. Because last season,
I mean, that goes without saying.
Prior to last season, I mean, you could tell me I'm talking out my backside now, but I can't remember a season where there was teams quite as far adrift. But like it used to be with Edinburgh. I think their seasons were generally done by January, unfortunately, in the biggest part. But let's hopefully the new regime in Fife gets things going back again. I'd look forward to our trip up there in November, a bit of karaoke maybe on the Friday night in Berwick. We'll see.
Berwick, you have been warned.
Yeah, we're going to be tearing up Berwick again. Somebody should probably
Phone ahead,
yeah.
Got to make sure it's still on.
Yeah, put the flags out. Well, we've kind of, unbelievably, we've almost sort of talked about everything. There's a couple of other odds. Just a quick mention. Congratulations to Colin Shields for being awarded an MBE.
Yes.
Services to sport, well done, yes. I don't know if we've got time for that, Ant. We'll congratulate one veteran for receiving an MBE, and we will gush, quite frankly, over the career of one Matthew Myers. I don't believe he's officially retired or anything, but he will no longer be a Panthers player. I think it'd be highly unlikely he would return to the Devils. So, what an absolute legend! What a career! He's like an adopted son of Nottingham, quite frankly, in terms of the hockey fraternity. I mean,
it's for me, from when I started coming a lot later than Adam did, but I you know, Matthew Myers was still well into his career by the time I started coming.
He's been
for a long time. He's been part of the fabric, and he's the last remaining. Sort of. It's almost like when Ryan Giggs retired and left Man United. It's kind of like that's the last connection with De Gea leaving. That's the last connection to the Fergie era.
Yeah. Matthew Myers is a bona fide legend. You know, I said that on social media. I'll say it again on this podcast. I think that he skated through brick walls for this club over so many years, and you know, in all the bad seasons that the Panthers have had, and boy, there's been quite a lot. You know, no one can ever look at Matthew Myers and say he didn't give any less than 110%. He absolutely epitomised what the word professional meant. You know, every game that he played, he gave absolutely everything. So, well done on your Panthers career, Matthew. And it's a real shame that we won't. And thank you. And we won't see you again in a Panthers shirt, I guess. But, you know, You put in one hell of a shift, so yeah, thanks from all of us.
He deserves every plaudit that comes his way. I wasn't keen on us stopping a game halfway through. Well, not last season, was it? The season before. But you know, he deserves everything. What a player, what a stalwart, absolute legend, not just for us but you know, for Cardiff as well. Unfortunately, he wore orange in the that mid-season COVID.
He was horrified, I'm sure.
But you know, fair play to him. Good luck to him in the future, and we hope it's not the last we see of him in Nottingham.
Right, we're rapidly running out of time, so let's wrap it up at that then, chap. So thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We've been made aware that this hasn't actually posted out to the socials, so if you have listened live, then well done. But we'll attempt to rectify that by the time we do this again. From Adam.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And
take care, spike your hair, woo woo woo, enjoy your summer.
And for myself, TTFN, see you next time.